Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Washington, D.C. Acknowledge me.
Chris Russell on the Team 980.
I'm not trying to be a jerk. All right, everybody, good Winbag Wednesday afternoon to you all in the nation's capital and, of course, beyond, always live and free on that wonderful Odyssey app. And we hear a lot of you are listening, which is a good thing, on that wonderful Odyssey app. It's free. You can listen live. You can listen on demand. You can listen to every segment, anything that you may have missed, any Winbag Wednesday from previous weeks. But why listen to any previous one when you can listen to this one right here, right now? Live, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, we say good afternoon to the birthday boy tomorrow.
It's very ghetto.
The youngest in charge. Oh, wait a second. I'm sorry. There's a new name. We're not any longer using the YIC acronym. It is... the main event messiah, as he is now dubbing himself. The main event messiah. See? You just heard. Hello, Linnell Willingham. How are you?
Thank you, Chris Russell. I'm good. I'm all good. I'll be better if a certain team chooses to show up tomorrow night.
Yes, yes. I know you are very intent on and hell-bent on getting to Commanders Eagles game talk, because it is a short week and because we do have breaking news which we should share off the bat, and that is something you just told me right before we went on the air. So I guess all the reporters are mentioning, or Dan Quinn announced it, or whatever the case might be, that Marshawn Lattimore, as was expected, I think, yesterday.
I don't know.
When he didn't practice yesterday, I was like, okay. I mean, it's hard to imagine he's going to play. Not that I was 100% ruling out, but now he has been 100% ruled out, correct?
100% ruled out. And it's just doesn't make me feel easy.
Doesn't
put me at ease in it. Really, really, really makes me concerned about tomorrow night.
Yeah, and it should. I mean, listen.
So, I don't know.
Again, I thought when they made the trade, maybe there was an outside chance he would play against the Steelers. Then that quickly became apparent that he wasn't. But then I was like, well, maybe they're saving him for the more important of this two-game Keystone State, Keystone Cop Tango. And then he didn't practice on Monday, even though they didn't practice. They have to officially estimate and whatever. And it was, hey, he wouldn't have practiced if that was, you know, if it was a Wednesday, but instead it was a Monday. And then he didn't practice yesterday, although he walked out with Dan Quinn. So everybody was like, ooh, maybe something to see here. Maybe they're cooking up something. And then what? He practiced on a limited basis today is what?
No,
is
he
what's
was just
going
out
on?
There.
He was just out there.
Looks
okay.
Like he stretched.
So just stretch. So just performing in individuals, I guess, just stretching, just loosening up. And we know with a hamstring injury, obviously these things are quirky and they're balky. And we just don't know when it's going to be ready, but we know this is the problem, by the way. Let me just get this out of the way. This is the problem with Thursday night football, right? The NFL can run around like a bunch of cowards like they are and say, well, nobody gets more injured on Thursday night games than on Sunday afternoon games or Sunday night games or Monday night games. This is what our analytics and our data told us. This is what somebody in mommy's basement of Roger Goodell's mansion in Rye, New York told us. Except what they didn't tell you is because the game's on Thursday night when there's no need for it to be on Thursday night and it's just a money grab by both sides, the players and the owners, but whatever. More guys cannot get ready to play on Thursday night. And if they had until Sunday afternoon, early or late, or Sunday evening, late, they might have an actual chance to play, like Marshawn Lattimore.
Oh, I don't even know why you, God, you annoy me with this. Why do you get so worked up over the morals of a clearly immoral league? They don't have a moral compass, the NFL. They don't
because it should be pointed out because everybody that's on their payroll is afraid to tell you because they can't tell you because they work for the company.
Why do you think ownership was able to run roughshod here for years?
Yeah, I'm not paid by the NFL, so I can tell you what the truth is and how
and
I see it.
We all know it. It's money. Everything's about money. Yeah. This ownership didn't get under the microscope until they started to take significant financial hits.
Yeah.
And this is one of the league's sons, honestly. It's one of the founding fathers of the NFL, this franchise. So we know what it is and what it's not. I refuse to get worked up over it. Bottom line is this.
You don't have to get worked up over it, but in lieu of more information, like in lieu of Dan Quinn coming out on record and saying, guys, not only is he not playing on Thursday, but he's still a couple of weeks away. We don't know if Marshawn Lattimore, or for that matter, if Brian Robinson or Andrew Wiley, or you'd have to logically think that they'd have a better chance of being ready to go and or playing at a higher level or a higher ability on Sunday than they would on Thursday. But unfortunately, them's be the breaks. Not only are the Commanders playing on a short week, which every team has to do throughout the year. I got it. I understand that. And they're going to play on more short weeks coming up because they're going to be flexed into different games and whatnot, and it's going to be a disaster. I'm just telling you, while everybody loves football under the lights and, primetime this and primetime that, and then, Mike Tirico talking nice about the team and all that stuff, it's a disaster. But then on top of that, right, what you have is you have a team that hasn't had a bye yet, and for a third year in a row, is having the bye on the last possible week. And how do I know that? Well, I know that because A, I've studied it, and B, because it's Army-Navy weekend every single time over the last 3 years that they have had a bye. So your boy hasn't had a bye, but they've had a bye, but they haven't gotten a bye until mid-December. And people say, well, that's no big deal. Every team's got to suck it up and do it. It's only week 13, Chris. It's only week 14. It doesn't matter. Start talking about something that matters, like you. Except for the fact that people also forget that they've got to train and play three preseason games in practice for 5.5 to 6 weeks.
Who cares?
I care.
They went through one of the softest training camps I can remember in recent memory.
It doesn't matter.
Because of that. If you don't think that was a part of his thought process, you're ludicrous.
You still had to play, practice, or train for 20 weeks in a row. That is a lot to ask out of a football team. It's not impossible. It's a lot to ask.
It is what it is. It's the way the schedule makers made the schedule. You got to roll up your sleeves and deal with it.
Well,
Philly doesn't give a rat's ass that you haven't had a bye week
yet. I don't care about Philadelphia either. I don't care about
Pittsburgh doesn't care.
I don't care about Pittsburgh, but it's my radio show, and I can talk about the things that bother me and annoy me.
So my thing is this. If they didn't have a late bye, how do you think things would be impacted?
If they didn't have a late bye?
They didn't have this
maybe
late
they'd
bye.
Be healthier. I don't know. Maybe Brian Robinson wouldn't have had to miss three games. I don't know.
If there was
a bye in between the Steelers game and the Giants game, maybe he would have played the Steelers game. I don't know. If there wasn't no bye and Thursday night football and a quick turnaround tango up to Philadelphia, maybe Marshawn Lattimore would have played. I don't know. I can't conclusively tell you that a certain player would have or wouldn't have played in lieu of more information, right? Dan Quinn's just not giving us that information, and he doesn't have to. But what I am saying is, if this game was on a Sunday, okay, this week, this week's thing that is driving me crazy, if this game was on a Sunday, maybe Marshawn Lattimore would have a better chance. Maybe
Chris,
Andrew Wiley would have a better chance.
I'm dumbfounded.
So you don't want anybody to do anything about it or be bothered by it or be annoyed by it?
No, that's the thing. You can be annoyed about it, but like...
Don't say anything about it. Kiss Roger Goodell's...
There's nothing you can do about it.
Lordy ass cheeks.
Don't we always talk
There's
about...
There's nothing you can do about a lot
don't
of
Don't we
things.
Always talk about controlling what you can control?
Well, you talk about that. Dan Quinn talks about that. Players can talk about that.
We can't control
I can
the
control
schedule.
A lot of things. I control this damn radio show, so I'm going to tell you what's on my mind.
50% of the way.
Well,
on a Wednesday
I'm just
and a
telling
Thursday.
You. I'm just telling you. No, hold on, Messiah.
Well, no, I'm
okay?
just saying. But no, like, it is what it is, Chris. I just can't believe you just get so worked up over the dumbest things.
Okay, so let's get what Linnell was worked up about. On the way in, let's tell the world what the youngest in charge was bitching about on the way in and had him so angry and so fired up. And I'm not talking about his personal life, which is a pot of molasses that you can't escape from to begin with. I'm talking about football, baby. There was something you said to me on the way in that had you just absolutely, to use a junkie's term, yeah. That had you so upset, and that is this fan base.
Well, yeah, you all are a bunch of spoiled idiots sometimes. The way that you all react over people being objective about the quarterback makes me want to throw up. It's the silliest thing I've ever heard in my life. Jay Gruden was on the show Monday.
Yes, Monday, 3 o'clock.
I'll be real. Jay's a great ball coach. I thought Jay may have even been too kind in his evaluation of Jaden Daniels.
Okay.
Because he got on the big stick and said the same thing. It was glazing him, as the kids like to say. Not once did I say Jaden Daniels is the reason this team lost. All I'm pointing out is this, and I am guilty of it. If we're going to talk about him in the realm of being a top five quarterback the way that we've done here through 9 weeks, when he has a game like Sunday, mm-hmm. you need to evaluate him through the lens of a top five quarterback, not a rookie. I'm tired of hearing this rookie stuff. Nothing about this young man is rookie, okay? And that's fine. That's fine. We have raised expectations, and guess what? They should be. He earned the right to have high expectations put upon him. He did. And if you're going to tell me that you watched Sunday and you thought, oh, Jaden was great, then you're a liar. You're not being objective. I'm not saying he was terrible.
Did you get a lot of people... honestly, that said he was great on Sunday, or did you get a lot of people that more said, that more said, hey, you know what? He wasn't the main problem. He wasn't at fault. It was Benjamin St. Hughes. It was this. It was that.
Hold on. I just get, because even that notion is ridiculous. If he hits Luke McCaffrey, people, you know how different the game is? If he hits Olamide Zaccheaus on the first third down of the game, maybe they go score on that drive. And I'm nitpicking here because that's where we're at with him. He has been Superman through the first 9 weeks. On Sunday, he was an extra. On Sunday, he was a background dancer.
Yeah,
he was not Michael Jackson. He was Tito.
See,
it's just real.
As I told you last night, I think to say he's an extra, to say he's a background actor,
Chris,
I think is
50%
to me a little.
Of his passes
I understand
had
that
several
he did
misses.
Not play good.
He didn't. He was, but I'd grade him out as a B, and
which,
I'm not
which
saying,
is a good grade.
Chris, it's not that I'm saying he played bad. I guess I'm more so frustrated, like you said, with the fans acting as if anyone who's objective about mm-hmm. the guy is a hater. You automatically jump to, oh, it's not Jaden Daniels' fault. Duh, it's not Jaden Daniels' fault. It's not Benjamin St. Juice's fault. It's a team sport.
It's your
they
fault.
They all contributed.
You let the team down.
To the loss.
Yeah.
Stop. I don't like the way you guys can't, and you guys can't pick and choose either when he's a rookie or he's a top five quarterback.
Well, that is a problem with this fan base, and that's always been a problem.
Anytime something bad happens, oh, he's a rookie.
Right. Whoever they identify as their hero, as their conquering hero, as their reason to believe, as their reason to buy jerseys, as their reason to justify spending $150 a ticket, you can't criticize that person. I mean, I fought it day in and day out. Day in and day out with you-know-who, Robert Griffin III, right? And then I fought against it when they totally did not embrace Kirk Cousins, who's the best quarterback this team has had, non-Jaden Daniels division, in 30-plus years, since at least Mark Rippon's wonderful Super Bowl season.
I guess that's my bigger point is, and I'm a fan too, that's the one thing, like, I call Chris an industry plant consistently. Because he's not a thoroughbred fan.
Because I wasn't born here.
He wasn't born here. It doesn't mean the same to you.
I should be punished for that reality.
No one is saying that you should
be punished.
That is
you being the victim. Mommy and daddy decide to plant a seed in New York as opposed to Washington, D.C.
You sound like a complete victim. 100%. That's
I'm like, what does Athen call you? The
VIC.
The Greek god.
Austin?
Oh, Austin. Yes. He calls you the VIC.
But in all actuality, like, that's where I, like, and I hate trying to come to your defense, but people are so rude to you.
Yeah, I appreciate you doing that.
With your commentary of the quarterback, and it's not being negative. Y'all keep using the wrong adjective. Mm-hmm. We're being objective.
We're being honest.
Both sides of
being
it.
Being honest.
If you listened to me last night on Overtime, I gave you the pressure numbers.
Yes.
My bigger takeaway from him coming out of the game.
Was 3 of 10 against
three
pressure?
3 of 10 against pressure. This is via NFL Next Gen Stats.
Right. So you know it's not just some person who has natural bias. It's just what the computer chip technology tells us.
That is what the data says. Yeah. And the data to me said, hey, it's not just a Jaden Daniels problem. I think the offensive line contributed to the struggles. Yeah. The play calling contributed to the struggles. And the lack of preparedness. Is that a word?
Yeah. Preparedness, yes.
Pittsburgh.
Or not a smart attack or counterattack.
No, let's call it what it is.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh caught Cliff Kingsbury with his pants down.
I mean, certainly at some points they did, yes.
The Steelers don't blitz a lot. Let me just put it that way.
Well, they don't have to blitz because their guys actually get home.
And I think that Washington,
which was the problem with the four horsemen that they tried to assemble here, is those guys rarely got home on their own.
Tyler Biadasz was largely responsible for calling the protections. Miscalled several protections on Sunday, and it allowed free rushers.
Yeah.
But do you know why that happened, in my opinion? I don't think they were prepared for Pittsburgh's pressure plan, because Pittsburgh's not a team that sends extra guys. And if you're a coach, and mind you, like, I don't know, you've been in more NFL locker rooms than I have in terms of, like, knowing their preparation. I know they'll never say it, but they looked ahead. They probably looked ahead to Philadelphia a little bit last week. That's how you do extra work. That's how you grind. That's why they're there 20 hours out of the day. If you're in a situation where you got two games in, what was it, 10 days? Or 2 days and 5 days or whatever.
It's 3 games in 12 days.
You're
I guess
on a short week.
2 games in 5 days.
You're on
days,
a short week. You're not going to get as thorough of a prep week in.
Yeah.
So maybe they didn't spend as much time on Pittsburgh's pressure plan because they don't send pressure.
If Pittsburgh doesn't blitz a lot during the normal against normal opponents, maybe they were either looking at the wrong tape, i.e., not looking at how they attack Lamar Jackson, or maybe Pittsburgh said, they're going to be expecting this because this is what we do, right? Because we don't have to blitz as much as other teams do. We don't have to get after it and send even five. And I don't even I know technically sending five is a blitz, but sending five is so normal nowadays, in my opinion, that it almost should be like, well, that's a normal blitz, and then there's blitz plus, which is six guys or more. But anyway, maybe Pittsburgh said, we're going to do this. We're going to do something that we haven't shown already, or that we haven't shown recently. You know why? Because we didn't have to do it against Daniel Jones and the Giants with a horrible backup left tackle. We didn't have to do it against the rancid New York Jets and Aaron Rodgers. We didn't have to do it against this opponent or that opponent. So we're going to unleash it off the bye when our guys are rested and give the rookie something different than what he has necessarily seen. And oh, by the way, maybe give Cliff Kingsbury something a little bit different than he has either seen on tape or than he is expecting. And I think that combines into one big vat, and I think you get what you got on Sunday, which was an ineffective offense, despite scoring 27 points because they didn't score a true
Chris,
27 points.
This to me is it may be a bigger issue with the quarterback. And I go look at his numbers versus pressure this year. The completion percentage dips to 48%. He's not the same quarterback versus pressure. He didn't throw any picks against pressure. He doesn't turn it over, which is his gift.
A lot of quarterbacks, though, struggle under pressure. A lot of them do.
Right, but my thing with him is the answers versus pressure. I think he does, and Pat Mahomes is guilty of this. Like I said last night, Josh Allen is guilty of this, but this is now who we're comparing him to.
Mm-hmm.
Your mechanics fade.
Yeah, you drift away a little bit.
Well, I would just like him to stand tall and deliver more. I don't know if that has to do with the ribs, because we've seen him do it.
Okay.
That pass on third down to Terry McLaurin against Cincinnati, there's no fading
right, but
away.
If you stand in there and take shot after shot, eventually.
You're a big boy playing the quarterback position.
And eventually you're on the sideline.
Man, no one cares about that.
I mean, I know you don't care about injuries. I do. 301-230-0980. We're just getting rocking and rolling on a Windbag Wednesday. We're going to certainly disagree throughout the show, as we always do. We're going to agree on some things, but Linnell's mad at you, the fan base, for being so hypercritical of anybody that would have the mere audacity to criticize Jaden Daniels. Do you buy into that? Do you agree with that? Should we be critical and honest of Jaden Daniels, or should we say, you know what, he's the franchise, he's the true Messiah, and he's also a rookie? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980 on the team. 980, always live and free on the Odyssey app. Right back at it on a Windbag Wednesday. We're celebrating the YIC's birthday, or now you could call him the main event messiah. He's got more slogans and Logans. Logans? I don't know where I came up with that. Slogans and mottos.
I don't have any Logans. Logan Paulson, I love you, my brother.
Logan Paulson is the best. I mean,
can I just say something real quick? Because I realized I felt myself... It's when I'm around you, you influence me in such a negative way.
Really?
In my, negativity. I don't want to come off as someone that's basking in negativity.
Mm.
I'm just pointing out an offensive issue in their worst game of the year offensively.
Mm-hmm.
His performance versus pressure Sunday was not good enough, and it aided Washington's worst offensive performance of the season. My thing
against the best defense that they've faced
the best
all year, their starting running back,
which is, but I don't care who's in and who's out. You got to play with.
That's the thing. Here's the thing. You lack a lot of the context. You don't care about a lot of the context
because this is the National Football League, man.
I understand that, man. But
you understand
there was a best-selling book named Next Man Up that John Feinstein wrote? It was all about the Baltimore Ravens, right?
Very aware. A lot
of dum-dums have taken this mentality of next man up, next man up, next man up, next man up. Like, everybody's the same. No! Not everybody's the same.
That's not at all what I'm saying. It's not as if the context doesn't matter. I'm saying look at it for what it is. Look at it for what it is. Yes, you were down Corin Lucas. Yes, you were down Andrew Wiley. You were down Brian Robinson. That doesn't take away from the fact that he was not good versus pressure Sunday. What does that have to do with that?
I don't disagree with you, but you understand that a lot of fans don't want to hear negative things about
it's
the number
not,
two overall
Chris,
pick in the franchise
about,
savior.
Stop using that word. Please.
What?
This is not me being negative. That is me being honest. You literally just said.
Well,
fans don't want to hear negative things.
They're not going to process it as you're being honest, as you're being real,
as you're being analytical.
Nobody cares about you being analytical.
And it's not
They're
just They're going to
look
Daniels.
At it and say, wait, that's just an angry guy who's just miserable. That's just, baby Russ, that's just an angry guy who's looking for somebody to tee off on to be controversial. But I understand your perspective. I do, because I agree with it.
His decision making in the game was damn near flawless. He still made 3 to 4 wow throws. If you were watching this, though, and if you've watched it back, he was sped up. He was sped up in everything that he was asked to do. Pittsburgh did a really good job taking Washington out of their comfort zone. And the biggest problem to me, offensively, negative plays in stalemate plays.
Negative plays killed them throughout the game.
But it's not just the negative plays. It's the no games either, which there haven't been a lot of this year.
Yeah, but there because were more negative plays than no game
Chris,
plays.
Listen, though. They're not accustomed to functioning that
Understood.
Way. When you have a 75% completion percentage,
Understood.
That means you're completing passes and constantly staying ahead of the sticks.
Understood. And they that affects you on third
Sunday.
Down.
Exactly.
And that means instead
exactly.
of going an average of 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3, you're an average of 3rd and 6, 3rd and 7.
It
and that makes
different.
All the difference
the
in the world.
The play calling menu yeah. shrinks drastically.
Of course. 301-230-0980. Why don't we squeeze in a call here before the bottom of the hour trending alert and get D.C., in, well, D.C. aboard. What's up, D.C.?
All is well. Great day, Russell. How y'all doing, fellas?
What's going on, man?
What's going on, D.C.? How are you?
Man, everything is good except for Linnell is being so loud, I think he was smoking the loud before he came in today. Linnell, how are you going to say this man isn't a rookie? He's a top five quarterback. He is a rookie. And he is a top five quarterback, but currently, well, not even currently,
oh my God.
He had a not up to his standard game, which we used to him playing.
His standard's top five. Line. See, here's the problem, DC. Y'all want him to be a rookie when it's convenient for you. Y'all only want him to be a rookie when he makes mistakes. Oh, he's a rookie. He's a rookie. How about he just made a mistake because he's a quarterback, and all elite quarterbacks throughout this league make mistakes. My main premise, and I don't mean to cut you off. I just got to get it off with a caller on the phone. Y'all can't act like if someone makes an objective comment about him that I hate the guy, that I'm bashing him. I'm a fan. I'm not like Chris. I'm not an industry plant. My salary doesn't influence my passion for the team. It just doesn't.
I'm such a bad person because I wasn't conceived in Washington, D.C.
I'm not saying you're a bad person, but you emotionally cannot. You don't get what it's like. You ain't Craig. Craig's not from here either. Y'all don't get what it feels like.
I really get what it feels like. It affects me. It hurts my radio show.
I think this is what you fail to realize. Patrick Mahomes, for 7 weeks out of the season, has not played like Patrick Mahomes.
Didn't I just say that?
And he's not a rookie. He's been playing for years.
Yes, I agree. Totally agree.
Jaden Daniels is in his rookie season. He's been playing out of his mind. He had one game. His game wasn't even subpar. He had one game where he wasn't as accurate as he usually was. In all game, he's not playing with two starting linemen or a rotating starting lineman and a starting lineman. And he had a few inaccurate passes, but how many drops did we have? How many penalties did we have? It was a team thing here.
All of that is on the table. And there is no doubt. And that's why DC yesterday with Doc, I said, look, it's not one thing. It's not just Jaden. It's everything. But to also say that Jaden played well, I think is a reach. I don't think he played well. I don't think he was super sharp. I think he was maybe above average. That's bottom line. Appreciate you. As always, we got to let you run because we have a trending alert and then all of the rest of your phone calls and we see you lined up. So just be patient. We're coming right at you on the other side, 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, the Wizards try and get a win on the road tonight. Good luck. They'll try and do it against Victor Wembanyama and the San Antonio Spurs. That game right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app begins at 7:45 on the pregame coverage with Dave Johnson and friends. By the way, the Spurs, because Greg Popovich will not be coaching in that game, say now that Greg Popovich actually suffered a stroke, a mild stroke, on November 2nd. So that's why he is not coaching, and his future immediately is not exactly known. Speaking of the NBA and injuries and all sorts of things, Joel Embiid and Paul George going to miss tonight's Sixers game against the undefeated Cleveland Cavaliers due to injury management, both sitting out the back end of back-to-back games as the Sixers last night lost to the New York Knicks. The Capitals are back in action tonight, 7:15 the pregame, 7:30 over on 106.7 The Fan for the puck drop. The Toronto Maple Leafs are in town. You can also listen to it on the Odyssey app, and the Washington Commanders wrapping up the practice week before heading off to Philadelphia for Thursday night football tomorrow. And they have officially ruled out Marshawn Lattimore. And that's what's trending. All right, we're celebrating the, what are we calling you now? The main event messiah?
No, I'm joking.
The mem? The YIC's birthday tomorrow, because I'm in Philadelphia at Lincoln Financial Field. God willing, the Eagles PR staff doesn't lock me out and I have to do the show from my car or the parking lot or whatever.
You just make sure you're on time.
I'll be on time. So we're celebrating a day early. We've got the Greek god, Austin.
I mean, you need to be billing him.
In Annapolis. We've got Maddie brought in bagels. I brought in a cake that I didn't know what I bought. Because I didn't look at the picture,
Care enough to look at what you were doing.
I mean, I got your name right. You know what? I put YIC because I couldn't spell Linnell.
That's embarrassing.
So many double letters.
Yeah. But anyway, we are talking about Jaden Daniels, and listen, it is okay. It is perfectly okay to say. He wasn't great on Sunday. My immediate reaction Sunday night and Monday morning was he wasn't super sharp. When I went back and I watched the tape, he was even less sharp than I thought he was. That
and
doesn't mean he was bad.
No one ever says once right. They come out and said he was bad or
that
he cost
doesn't
the team.
Mean we're out on Jaden Daniels. So you just, get all fired up that the fan base. Some in the fan base who are loud say you can't criticize or how dare you criticize.
But they meet the – I guess my bigger complaint is y'all don't meet the criticism with how he could get better. Y'all meet it with excuses. Like, oh, he didn't have Brian Robinson or he didn't have Andrew Wiley. Dude.
Well, I do some of that too.
Because you're a
There's
crybaby.
Reasons for things. Because I'm a crybaby? Are you kidding me?
But no, I think the healthier, more productive conversation is about how they can improve.
You're right. That is the healthier, more productive conversation.
Not about worrying and listing the excuses. That's all y'all want to do is make excuses for them. He didn't play well.
Not everybody is as progressive as you.
I'll be honest with you, though.
Not everybody is as advanced in thought as you are.
When you go look at the numbers, first of all, this is all because Pittsburgh's defense was smash mouth. I mean, they're a good defense. And not having Brian Robinson, that's the other big picture takeaway for me, too, from the offense. They need Brian Robinson. They need that physical element of their offense. The 2 and 3 yard gains are better than the TFLs that we saw on Sunday because guys aren't breaking tackles. Brian Robinson's amongst the league leaders in broken tackles.
And yards after contact.
So when guys lose up front, he masks some of their mistakes by getting
absolutely.
A no gain or a 1 yard gain. And
But wait a second. If you're going to say, wait a second, we can't use excuses and reasons, then you can't say that, can you? Right?
About the offense?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a fact, though.
Okay, but
the other stuff are facts,
just,
too. I get
you were just chastising the fans for using excuses. Nobody's using excuses. I don't think people are using excuses as much as... we are as human beings would prefer, like when we love somebody, when we believe in somebody, when we think somebody is truly the Messiah, we don't want to hear negative things about them. We don't want to think badly about them.
But yeah. No, like in reality, right?
You should hear what's said about you behind your back.
You are a grade A. I mean, just a piece of. But
can
no,
we,
in reality,
go back
though.
To the phones?
It's not like I'm making excuses. All I said was they need Brian Robinson.
I agree.
He covers up when Nick Allegretti gets beat.
I think that's a super smart
point. When Cosme gets beat.
Correct.
Because he's breaking those tackles that Eckler and McNichols
not
did
every
not break
run,
Sunday.
But a lot of them. A lot absolutely. Of them.
And the other issue is too, the offensive line's got to be better. They
the weird
very good
part is
Sunday.
They had three physical running touchdowns and couldn't run the ball elsewhere. They could only run the ball inside the 3-yard line.
Yep.
Weird. The most physical part of the field, they did fine.
Well, they hit,
and they couldn't do anything else.
They hit. They timed it up.
But it also wasn't just the running game getting negative plays. See, I'm not going to allow you to get away with this, Grant Paulson. I'm not going to let you get away with this, Grant. The bottom line is the passing game. Too many negative plays there as well. And specifically to De'Ami Brown. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's get back to the phones and get to Dontel and Frederick next up here on the Team 980. Dontel, how are you?
All the way from Quebecistan.
I hear him. He's rumbling. He's ruffling. What's going on, Dontel? Let's try this again.
Well, you know, Chris.
Okay.
I'm sitting here listening to you guys, and then I had to remember it was Wednesday because I'm hearing the youngest go off early in the morning. So, well, early in the afternoon, should I say. But I'm calling in because I want to put my emphasis on this Jaden Daniels thing. The youngest is absolutely right. We absolutely cannot have the rookie tag on him any longer. This dude's elite. So just like we praise him when he wins, hey, if he causes us to lose or if he doesn't play well, we got to give it to him. And it's just the way of the world. But with him not playing well this week, the dude's hurt. And it is obvious he's hurt. I don't know why they're playing him. So, number one, every time he went to the sidelines, they put the heat on his ribs.
Mm-hmm.
That's telling you he's hurt. He's not running the ball like he should be.
But he's not even on the injury list. You know,
he's not even on the injury report.
They are required by the CBA and the rules of governance in the league, if somebody is legitimately hurt or ailing or have something going on, and I don't know exactly where that line is, to put him on the injury list, and they don't, or they haven't.
Yeah, but I'm saying, what's the reason he's getting the heat on his ribs every time he comes to the sideline? I mean, that's just obvious.
I don't disagree.
Maintenance? What if it's just maintenance, think, though. That's how I would look at it. I don't know. I hear you, though, because there's less torque on. Someone was pointing out some stuff that I agree with. There's less torque, but if you watch the way he threw it Sunday, he was throwing heat-seeking missiles to the point where y'all crushing De'Ami. He threw a laser to De'Ami, and he didn't have to because everything about him was sped
like
up Sunday.
It was kind of like a little
Sunday.
Bit behind, yeah.
Everything about him was sped up Sunday. He was throwing fastballs all game long. And like that
it didn't look like he was throwing the ball bad at all. He was still throwing it the same, but you've seen him on the field. I've seen him anyway, grimacing at times, not every play, but he definitely was getting the heat on every time he went to the sideline.
Can we say this, that he's not 100%, but he's also not injured or hurt?
He's just as banged up as everybody else.
You know, I think we can say that.
That does maybe have
some effect on your ability to either speed up or maybe be delayed or maybe fade away, which I know something that you pointed out, and you're correct. I mean, I've seen the same thing. I think we've all seen the same thing. I think quarterbacks around the league do that. They kind of drift away from the rush and away from the pressure to buy extra time and to buy,
guys do it.
You know,
everybody
also not a hand
it. The
on in the
do
face.
It.
Yeah.
Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar. Doesn't mean it's right. When it doesn't work and you do it, it's wrong.
Thanks, Dontel. Appreciate you as always.
That third down as the key is the one I continuously point to. It's like when
the first
it jumped out right away.
Again, live, I thought bad throw. When I went back and I watched it, I said, okay, well, now I understand a little bit
why?
More, but
the
it's still a bad throw.
The throw was bad because
it's still
he was
a bad
fading
throw,
away. Yeah.
But I understand the reason why now more than I did live Sunday at the other end of the field. Let's get to Jason and Laurel next up. Jason, how are you?
What's up, guys?
What's up, Jason?
Happy early birthday.
Appreciate you, bro.
Guys, love the show. Listen, I agree with Linnell for sort of a different reason. I think our fan base is optionally crazy, or maybe it's just extended PSTV. I don't know. I've heard all week long people talking about how bad of a loss it was, how all hell's breaking loose. And honestly, I'm looking at it like, what's wrong with you guys? Two division leaders played. We were all beat up. We were all banged up. We didn't have people, not healthy. And we lost by 1 point, and we were leading by 10 in the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, I'm more hopeful now than I probably was 3 weeks ago, and I'm a hell of a lot more hopeful now than I was 12 weeks ago. Guys, we got a team, and the thing that's so paramount to me is really I got to a place over the last couple of weeks where if Jaden wins the game for us, we can play with anybody. But in that game Sunday, Jaden did not have his best game, and we still almost won. We have a team that's brewing here, guys, and I think it's getting kind of lost in the sauce. I think this coaching staff, the people they put together, we have something here. And, you know, when we become a great team, is like the Chiefs right now, Patrick Mahomes is not being an all-star. Mm-hmm. They're still finding ways to win.
You know, Jason, this is a great point. I disagree that it's getting lost in the sauce, but it's just being represented a different way. It's what you hear when you hear the brotherhood that they're building, that they have, the chemistry. That's what that means. But to your point, when you win games against good opponents, not even elite opponents or great opponents, against good opponents, when you don't have your best stuff, like it's like the starting pitcher in baseball who grinds out six innings and he just doesn't have pinpoint command. He doesn't have maybe an extra tick of velocity. He doesn't have the put away stuff, but he grinds through six innings, two runs, and you get the win on a Tuesday night against a good opponent. And you're like, all right, oh, go get him, you know, 5 days from now. It's that kind of thing that I think you're pointing out, that they need to, as a team, find a way to kind of overcome. Okay, you don't have B-Rob, compensate here like they did against the Giants. Okay, you don't have Jaden, you know, at Jaden's absolute best. Well, we need to compensate a different way, and we need to make up for it a different way. Jace, appreciate you. Thank you. Got to let you run so we can keep the line going.
Got to make the big plays in the big spots, too, is the other thing. On offense and on defense.
I mean, they made some, just not enough.
For sure, and it's not enough to win, and that's my bottom line. But I agree with Jason 100%, just because, and that's my whole thing, like, we got to be able to comprehend more than one thing at a time. Just because I'm sitting here telling you how, look, Jaden didn't play great. I gave him a B. I'll continue to go back to the grade because I can't find the proper word. I'll grade him out as a B. But in the grand scheme of things, and this is what I guess I have to do a better job representing, I feel exactly how Jason feels. I feel better about the team coming out of Pittsburgh, and here's why. It has nothing to do with the offense, though. The offense I'm a little concerned about. But
The defense.
Pittsburgh ran the ball 46 times, and you held them to 3.3 yards a pop. You did a great job, but you also exposed the weakness that we've been talking about. Is when you commit eight guys to the box, as they did frequently on Sunday, you leave your corners on an island, and they gave up big plays in big spots, and that can't happen.
A lot of things to talk about that'll obviously feed into tomorrow's main crux of the show, which is, you know, how do they find a way to beat Philadelphia in Philadelphia? Again, I'll be live at Lincoln Financial Field for tomorrow's show. Linnell will be with us back here in D.C. We'll continue along the way on your calls. I see a couple of different voices, Harrison Frederick, Charles in D.C. We'll get to them coming up next. After a quick timeout, we'll continue to roll through all the calls at 301-230-0988. Not the only thing we're going to talk about. We're going to get to Lars Eller coming back to the nation's capital, baby. Welcome home, Tiger, coming up later on in the show on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, along with the now self-proclaimed main event messiah, the YIC. Every time I hear this, I think of Coach Thompson.
What the hell is this?
What do you mean, what the hell is this?
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Like, wake up and smell the roses a little bit.
I don't know what the song is. I asked what it is. I guess I could have asked in a more polite way.
Exactly.
What the heck is this?
It's Alan Jackson. Jimmy Buffett, 5 o'clock somewhere.
Oh, Jimmy Buffett, brother of Warren?
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Coach Thompson, legend.
Yes.
Have you heard of Coach Thompson?
Of course.
Okay. When he was hosting a show on this station,
uh-huh.
This is how he would sign off.
Oh.
But he would sign off at, I think it was 2 o'clock, at least the portion that I remember.
Okay.
And the whole idea is it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
I just didn't know.
Okay. The whole point is that it's a party time, it's drinking time,
exactly.
Wherever you are.
Exactly. So Maddie played it because I think...
Because it's your birthday. It's 5 o'clock
somewhere.
Yeah. Well, tomorrow.
Celebration. Well, birthday celebration in the station today.
We're doing a 2-day birthday celebration because I can't be here in person for you tomorrow. So I want to make sure I took care of you.
Thank God.
I know. I'm looking very much forward to not having to see you tomorrow.
Well, you're gonna see
Ben
me via
Standing.
Skype, Zoom, whatever.
Ben Standing of The Athletic, an occasional here of Odyssey DC, said the Commanders, this year's Commanders, have faced the most past Heisman Trophy winners than any team in NFL history. How about that? Week one, Baker Mayfield. Right,
Kyler, Burrow.
Baker won a Heisman, right? Yeah.
Yes, Chris.
Baker, Joe Burrow, Caleb Williams, Kyler Murray.
Mm-hmm.
Did Jalen Hurts win a Heisman?
Yes.
He did, right? Okay, I can't keep track of all these stupid
things. I don't know if Jalen Hurts. I don't think Jalen Hurts won
maybe
the Heisman.
Maybe
he did. No, he didn't. I'm not sure. Jalen, anyway, did he win the Heisman? I don't think he did.
Yeah, I don't think so, but maybe I'm forgetting
he won
about
the Why do I not remember him winning the Heisman?
So he did.
He won it in 2019.
Okay.
No, he was runner-up. Runner-up?
So he never won it?
No.
Okay.
No.
Jalen, right.
Okay.
I thought I was confused by that. Okay. But either way.
Bryce Young.
Uh-huh.
Bryce Young is on the list
for
Heisman
winners. Oh, Bryce Young. Yeah, there you go. But they didn't face him, though.
Technically.
Okay. Well, he was with the
team.
Panthers.
He was with the team.
I think that's what Standing is counting.
Okay. All right, anyway, just wanted to pass that along. Let's quickly get in one here before the top of the hour. Let's get to, let me see here, Harris in Frederick on the Team 980. Harris, how are you?
Frederick loves the Team 980.
Yeah.
What's up, Frederick?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. Long time listener, first time caller.
Well, nice to have you. Hang on 1 second, Harris. Let's make sure we give you the proper
Woo!
Introduction. Oh, a little Ric Flair woo-witch.
Thanks, sir. I want to jump in into Jaden's bandwagon with a question. Do you guys know if any other team could put up more than 27 points on the Steelers?
If any other team this year had put up more than 27 points on the Steelers?
Yes, sir.
I got to double check that. I don't believe so, but I got to double check that.
Yeah, the Colts put up 27.
Okay.
No, only Colts. Put 27 on them,
mm-hmm.
and that was good enough for a win for them.
Right.
No other team has been able to put 27 points or more
mm-hmm.
than the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
The greatest team on earth right now, which is...
But is your point because they put up 27 that he played well, or is there a different point?
No, the thing is, they are great defense, and this offense with Jaden Daniel, even though, I mean, the numbers are not fine, but they could put 27 points on them. Lions could only manage 24, and that was good enough for a win for them.
Mm-hmm.
Bills put up 9, and that was good enough for a win for them.
Yeah, I mean, so every game, every situation, every team is a little bit different.
Than offense.
Mm-hmm.
The issue is not Jaden Daniel and offense. The issue is that, well, we know that. I mean, it was a special team. I mean, they gave him the advantage.
Well, special teams was a huge problem on Sunday. Yeah, it was a huge problem on Sunday. And, of course, again, the defense didn't make every play that they needed to. They made a lot of plays. They didn't make every play that they needed to. And, again, the offense. See, the one thing, and thank you, Harris. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Harris.
I just wanted to squeeze you in here. We'll get to Charles and D.C. on the other side. Charles, hang on. You'll be in the leadout spot there, and then we'll roll through the rest of the list. I would just say this. Be careful about, hey, they scored 27 points against the Steelers on offense, if that's your theory, because I've heard that from a lot of people. Well, they didn't score 27 points. They did, but they didn't score true 27 points because, again, the Steelers gifted them at least 7 points, and I can make an argument that they gifted them another 7 points, therefore a total of 14 points with a penalty-aided drive, granted that the Commanders had to drive 94 yards on near the end of the first half. Which, so, yeah, you know, again, so. Yeah, you have to take everything into a little bit of context. All right, 159, Team 980, all your calls coming up. I promise, right back to you on the other side of 2 o'clock in the nation's capital and the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.